Okay, we're picking up the new parak. I apologize, I wasn't able to send yesterday's recording. We're picking up from Samech Vav, Amud Aleph of the Mishnah, with the Almana L'Kohen Gadol. So we're discussing, this parak is going to continue discussing of what we really saw already on Nun Vav, that people who are allowed to marry into Kahuna, and those who marry into Kahuna, that the fact that they're allowed to have Truma. The fact that you're allowed to have Truma, we know Kohen Kinyan Kaspo, that through that, whatever is acquired by a Kohen is allowed to be in Truma. So that means even his Eved Kanani, which is just a slave, is allowed to eat Truma. And also his wife, the Gemara assumes Midaraisa, also is allowed to eat Truma, even from the Erison stage. So now, the Mishnah is talking about a case, what do you have of a Kohen who marries somebody who's usher to him? Says the Mishnah, Almana l'kohen gadol, and grusha v'chalutza l'kohen yadot. A widow who's married to a kohen gadol, we know that's an iser, I say a kohen, kim besula v'yikach me'amav, he was only allowed to marry a besula, that was a shayla, even how old, we saw that before, right? Only from the, even someone who's a naira, he's not even allowed to marry a bulgaris. And grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyos. Also similar to divorceer chalutza, who's married to a kohen hedyot, according to the pashas of the Gemara, that was derabanan, according to Bikiva's deraisa. There are those who showed him actually even wanted to say that our Gemara is not even saying it's derabanan, really. Everybody agrees it's deraisa chalutza, that's a whole shayla. But ba'etzem, it's usher for them to marry for sure a grusha, as a level deraisa, a divorcee to marry a kohen, even bismanazet. It's complicated sometimes where kohanim want to marry a divorcee, but that's an iser deraisa. Hechnisa lo avde malug v'avde tona barzel. So now, she brings in malug properties of Tzoner Barzel. We'll translate in a moment when we finish the line. Avde malug lo yoch lebetshuma, and avde Tzoner Barzel yoch lebetshuma. That depending on what type of category of what she brought into the marriage, then if it's Tzoner Barzel, they would be allowed to eat truma, and if it's malug, then they will not be. The Gemara is going to discuss the difference in a moment in the moment on today's daf. But before we do that, we have to explain what is the difference between malug and Tzoner Barzel. So we get into Maseches Ksubos. A large portion of Maseches Ksubos discusses this difference. So really, essentially, when a woman comes into the marriage, she brings in gifts, you know, to the husband want to marry her. She brings in the father's estate, will bring in different property, as an incentive, you know, as part of the marriage. Even Bezmanazah, you have a dowry, so similar thing. So the Nedunya, the dowry, usually is actually refers to the Tzoner Barzel type of property. That was, the value was recorded in the contract of the marriage. And if the marriage ends up in a divorce or the husband dies, so that value is then, that value is going to be given to the woman. But the value is brought right now. So let's say the woman brings in a car. She brings in a $30,000 car. So that value is done right now. Even though 10 years from now they get divorced, or 20 years from now they get divorced, the husband dies, the car is not worth nearly that $30,000, worth like $5,000. Still, the husband is obligated to give the $30,000. The Gemara's got a machlokes about what if the woman decides, let's say it goes up in value, she gave him some sort of thing that whatever became a market item and it's worth, and it's a luxury car and it became like a classic, so it's now worth $100,000. So she wants the car and not the value. So that's a machlokes we're going to see on Amud Beis, end of Amud Aleph actually, even we're going to see that today. So, but that is the concept of Tzoner Barzel. The lesson is called Tzoner Barzel because Barzel, it's like iron, it's so strong that she's always going to get the value of whatever it was. Now there's the other thing is called Nechse Malog. Nechse Malog is the wife is basically essentially retaining the ownership over it. The husband just has the right to peros. So therefore, the husband has the right to the peros. So let's say she gives him a field. So he just has the right to get the peros of the field the whole time they're married. If they divorce or he dies, he no longer gets any value to it. It's not given as inheritance to his children. It's not his. So she has the complete ownership over it. So now, the Gemara makes a chilek that if it's avde malog, so then, since it's really, anyway, essentially really the woman's, then she's not allowed to eat it. However, the Tzoner Barzel, which really was the husband's, so even though, again, they're not married, halachically, meaning they're married, their marriage is chal, but they're violating an issur d'oraisa, but still, those slaves are allowed to be eaten, are allowed to be eating truma. Now the Mishnah continues, ve'eloi na'avde malog, this is the concept of malog, im mesu, if they die, so then mesu la, so then the death is gonna be hers, as we saw, because she's the owner of it, so then, if she gave in, slaves that are malog, then they're gonna pay, then they're gonna be hers. Ve'im osiru, however, if they increase in value, osiru la, then they're gonna value is going to be to hers. That if they increase in value, when they get divorced, or she dies, then she's be able to, she gets back the, it doesn't matter. So then, alpha pishu chayaba bezorah. So even though the husband is responsible to feed these slaves while they're married, still he's not allowed to feed them truma. Even though you're feeding them, still the Gemara is going to discuss why at the end of the day you're not allowed to give them truma. But that's the halacha over here. Veiloi davdi Tzoner Barzel. Well, this would be the halacha as regards to Tzoner Barzel. Again, the stronger type of, it's the same exact thing. The shayla is, that's all, it's the shayla and Rishonim exactly. How do you classify something as stone or barzel. But by etzem, if you write it in the ksuba for sure, if you list it in the property and the value in the ksuba, that for sure creates a stone or barzel type of transaction. So the stone or barzel, and Mesu, if they die during the state of the marriage, Mesu lo, they're going to be his loss because he has to pay the value. Whatever we establish the value where this Evan is worth $10,000 right now, so you'll have to pay that $10,000 when you get divorced, when you die, no matter what. Now, if the thing becomes worth $100,000, that's good for you. You'll be able to keep it potentially. That's going to be machlokas. But if not, then if it goes down, it's worth like $1,000 when you're getting divorced. You still have to pay the full $10,000. Vimo siru, siru lo. The value is going to go to him. Since he is chayev, he's completely responsible for the value, says the Mishnah. Reelu yochle b'tshuma. So then these are fully his possession, and therefore they are allowed. He's allowed to then. Give them, feed them truma, these avadim, these slaves. So the Gemara says, Basi zel shenitzas l'koyin, if you have a daughter of Yisrael that marries a koyin, ve'echnisa lo avadim, and she brings her slaves as part of the dowry. So then, bein avdei melog, bein avdei tzorna barzel, arei elo yochlo b'tshuma. So now this is a regular case. It's a halachically valid marriage. So she's a Basi zel, she's marrying a koyin, and she's bringing him slaves. So whether they're tzorna barzel, that, even the first case where it's usher, it's gonna be good, so that's for sure good. The chiddush over here is even avdei melog is going to be allowed to be eating truma. The Gemara is going to explain why that would, what's the chilik between the Isser one and not, but at the end of the day, since the Kohen's acquisitions, whatever he acquires, Kinyan Kaspo is allowed also to eat truma, so too the wife is now Kinyan Kaspo. You acquire a woman, right? Isha Niknes, you can acquire the woman through marriage, through the Shavei Kesa. That's the idea. What exactly is that acquiring? How that works? That's not for now. That's Maseches Kiddushin. But there is some form of acquirement. So whatever he acquires also is allowed to then enable to eat truma. A woman is allowed to eat truma, even though she's a Basi Shal. She's allowed to eat truma, assuming they're, again, her halachically valid marriage. So then that would be the case of here. Vas koyin shenitzis liYisrael, the daughter of a koyin who marries an ordinary Jew, v'chnisa lo avadim, bein lo yochle b'truma. If you have a Bas koyin who marries Yisrael, so now it's a Bas Kohen marrying Yisrael, so it doesn't matter. Even if it's just like she herself, while she's married to him, she's not allowed to eat. So too, kol shekein her avadim, even her avdei tzon or barzel, even her avdei maluk, which is really hers, for sure is not allowed to eat either. Both these cases are going to be, the halacha is you're not allowed to eat. Again, she herself is not allowed to eat while she's married to Yisrael. Then kol shekein her avadim, that's what the last of the Mishnah is teaching us. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah taught us that a avdei maluk by a almanah to a kohen gadol, if it's an avdei maluk, is not ochlam b'tshuma. So the Gemara is lachora is bothered by this. The Gemara says, "V'avdi malog lo yochel b'tshuma." Why? Why not? Why not? Why can't they eat b'tshuma? Why can it be like the Cohen's acquisition, which had then purchased something else, which is the halacha? The Tana, the Brisa, is about to tell us. Menayin l'koyin shenasa isha, if a koyin marries a wife, v'kana avadim, and then she purchases a slave, sheyochel b'tshuma. The halacha is that slave is allowed to eat truma now because shenemar a koyin kiikna nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochel bo. The pasuk says if a kohen is going to acquire a person, an acquisition of his money, he's allowed to eat truma. So both the wife and the slaves are viewed as something that he acquires. So how do I know the further point? This is where we're bringing the ayah from. How do I know that a kohen's wife who then purchases slaves and the avadim who purchases a slave, how do you have avadim who purchase slaves? There's a concept of kol mashikana eved kona rabo, that anything that the eved kanani buys, by definition, is going to be the property of the owner. So there, you can give an example. Rashi says, if you make a tanai that ain rishus lebalecha, I give you a matana almanas that your owner has no stake in it. That tanai would work, and therefore at the end of the day, it doesn't really belong fully to the kohen. But still, that thing you're allowed to give it a truma because of it's like something that you own is now has another possession that is also allowed to eat truma. So where do I know that? Where do I know that halacha from? So the pasuk says, "Shenemar v'chkoin ki yikna nevesh kinyan kaspo l'ku yochalba." As the pasuk we just said, that the kohen should acquire a person, acquires his money, he may eat of it. Kinyan yo shikana kinyan ochel. So Rashi says that the limit over here is that the words kinyan kaspo are seemingly extra. It should have just said if a kohen is kone, he's allowed to eat truma, he's allowed to yochalba truma. Why is it kinyan kaspo? What do I care about kinyan kaspo? So the extra lashonos Rashi says is as if to make the pasuk say ki yikna kinyan kaspo nefesh. That if the person acquisitions were to acquire another person, that's how the lesson of the pasuk is then to be understood. This is implying that even something which is buying something else, like a secondary acquisition, that would also be valid, that would be kone chuma. So if this is the case, so the Gemara is wondering, why did our Mishnah say that what the wife brings in as nechse malug is not able to be kone, that should be good? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says there's a problem here, because kola ochel maichel, anybody who's eating chuma himself is allowed to eat, is allowed to pass on the truma. Kol she'ein ochel ein ha'maychel, but anyone who is not able to eat truma himself cannot entitle others to eat truma. So now, in Echanami, the woman theoretically should have been able to be kone, like we're going to see in the Seifa, where she halachically was valid to marry the kohen, and she's not allowed to eat truma. If she's allowed to eat truma, halachically midaraisa, it's fully allowed for her to eat truma, him and darbanan. So then, great. So then obviously her kinyanim would be valid to be able to allow the Eved to eat truma if she then buys something even without the permission from her, even without the property of her husband. Even that would be allowed to eat truma. But here, since it's something which her herself is not allowed to eat truma, she would not be able to entitle the slaves to eat truma either. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now. So the Gemara says, "Velo, is that really true?" The halacha is that an arel, somebody who is an arel, who is uncircumcised, the halacha is, midaraisa is not allowed to eat truma. So they are not allowed to eat truma, and the halacha is, and also a tmeim, and in the corner of somebody is not allowed to eat, yet they would enable others to eat truma. The Mishnah tells us that that if the their wives and their slaves are allowed to eat truma based on them, and both the brother circumcised, so the kohen is tameh, and where the man is uncircumcised. And the man is uncircumcised, we're talking about a case where if you have two brothers, die machmas mila, so halacha is the third brother is not allowed and not supposed to get a mila because we're afraid he's going to die from the mila as well. We just had that before. So the Gemara said, what creates a chazak? Two or three. So the Gemara says, Hasam pumayu ka'avliu. So it's there, so the Gemara says that literally pumayu, their mouths are what's causing them. Meaning, it's something external. Really, ba'etzem, they really should be shayach to truma. The Kohen just has to be matar himself. The other Kohen really should be able to give himself a mila just for a side purpose. He's not able to right now because it's not healthy for him to do so. It would be a danger. So really, fundamentally, it's fine. But really, there's something external preventing him, so that's not going to, for the other people, we're going to allow them to eat, meaning their wives, and their avadim would be allowed to eat truma. However, the widow is going to be, the moment she's with the kohen gadol, she's now a chalala, and she therefore is permanently going to be forbidden from eating truma. So therefore, she's considered somebody in the category of kol she'eino ochel, eino maichel. And that's not going to be against that Mishnah. So the Gemara asks a different kashya. But a mamzer, who is a descendant of a Kohen, he does not eat truma, yet he would enable another one to eat truma. How do a mamzer enable someone to eat truma? So Rashi gives the example. If you have a based on the Gemara later, on Samach Tesam Beis, the Gemara talks about a case, if you have let's say Rachel, she marries she's a Bais Yisrael, Rachel's daughter of Yisrael, and she marries a Kohen, she marries Aaron. So Rachel marries Aaron. So now, the Yelad is Bas. So then, she has a daughter, and this daughter marries a mamzer, and then this mamzer ends up having a child. So this daughter who marries a mamzer ends up having another child who creates another mamzer. So then, if her husband dies, the lacha is, again, if she has zara, if she has any children, the Bas Yisrael, who once was married to a Kohen, the lacha is, when she becomes an amana, when she becomes a widow, if she has any descendants, the lacha, who are kohanim, the lacha is, that she would be able to continue eating truma. So here, she has a Bas Yisrael, and she has a daughter, and she then has a son. So even through the daughter, that would be okay normally. Here, the chiddush is that even if it's a mamzer, the halacha is that's considered a zera that's able to, she has zera and a kohen, and the halacha would be that she would be allowed to eat truma. Even though he's a mamzer and he's totally not allowed to eat truma, he's enabling her to eat truma. Rashi just points out, but wait a second, why don't you bring a much more simple case where you just, this could be a case where you have someone who's kosher, that would be the same halacha. A fully kosher lady, Rachel, marries Aaron a kohen, who has a daughter, and then this daughter ends up having a son. This daughter ends up having a son, is not allowed to eat truma, but yet she enables his grandmother, his maternal grandmother, to eat truma because that was the daughter that ended up having a son. That's going to be okay. So with that case also writes in Echanami, but we're just bringing the case of the mamzer of the Mishnah. That's why we mentioned. That's why Gemara specifically says mamzer brings up that the Gemara over here asked that kasha a specific mamzer, but it'd be the same din as the case we just mentioned. Also, a regular case, we don't have to assume someone violated halacha. But either way, so the Gemara is asking: we see somebody who is a mamzer, someone who's the grandson on his maternal the maternal grandson of this lady is enabling the grandmother to eat truma, but he himself is not allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara says that lechora we brought a raya against this concept that truma, that it has to be tali on whether you're able to eat truma or not. So it says the Gemara Amar Ravina. So Ravina says kinyan ochel ka'amar. The Gemara meant to say that any kohanic acquisition who eats truma, not any person who eats truma. So we're changing the answer right now. So the Gemara is changing the answer. We're saying that a Kohen or his direct descendants has the power to enable others to eat Truma, regardless of whether he himself is allowed to eat Truma. The Braisa means to say that the Kohen's acquisition entitles others to eat Truma, that the acquisition is only when acquisition itself could eat Truma. There's a difference. That's the point. Here is just your biological grandchild. Doesn't matter if he's a mamzer or not. As opposed to the kinyanim, the acquisition, that's going to be telling you whether the person who's acquired is able to eat truma itself. Kinyan ol chamayachal shein ol chamachal. So we're basically redefining what we had said before, and we're saying basically it's telling on the actual acquisition. Says the Gemara now, Rava amar medoraisa michal achav. No, Rava says that really medoraisa, the slaves are allowed to eat truma, even nifsim belog. Rabbanan udi guys ribuun. And it's all a gzera rabbanan. So why kadesha tomar ani ochalas? Because she's going to say, I myself is not allowed to eat truma. Avdina nana ochlin. My slaves may not eat truma either. Zoni yetzlah, because she's going to, if she assumes that way, she's going to say, oh, I'm a Zoyna to him, and therefore I'm going to come to divorce him. Filkach, Asa, Puk, I didn't realize I'm doing such a bad Avera, but now I'm not Nalit Shuma, my slaves aren't Nalit Shuma because I'm such a Zona, so therefore she's going to come to divorce him, we want to get rid of that. So therefore, Midarabadan, we made this problem. Lachora, the question you could obviously ask is that why should it only apply to Nifs and Belug, not also Nifs and Tzon or Barzal? Both of them should not be allowed to eat if that was a Gzera Darbana. That's a Kasha. Gemara says, Ravashi, Amar Gzera Shematai Chalachar Misa. Ravashi says, there's a different gzera. The gzera is that really we're afraid that she's going to continue feeding the truma after her husband's death when she's no longer able to eat truma. To which the Gemara immediately asks, what do you mean? The whole gzera is that we're afraid that he's going to die and it's going to be a problem when he dies and you're not able to truma. So then the Gemara says, then Elamanta Basi Yisrael Shinizu L'Koin Losacha, the safe of the Mishnah, which says that if Basi Yisrael is married to a Kohen, she should not be able to have her Maluk Truma either, because when it goes back to her, gzera Shematach L'Achar Misa. When it goes back to her, she's no longer going to be considered a Kohen, and therefore she's not allowed, if he dies, then she's not allowed to halachically feed her children. Lachor is a very big question. So says the Gemara, you're right, that can't be what the Gzera is. Ela Amar Ravashi, Balmanas Kohenes, Daise Le Aruye, Mikar Achle Bechuma Devinasha, and Yisrael Achle Bechuma De Gavrai. So now, it's one long statement. We're talking about a case of a widowed Kohenes who married a Kohen Gadol. Again, so the widow, Isser married the Kohen Gadol. So she's going to come to the following halacha. She's going to be ma'orev, say the halacha lamaisa for her following. She's going to say, Mi'ikara achle b'tshuma divinasha. Come back over there. Mi'ikara achle b'tshuma divinasha into lei lai achle b'tshuma degavrei. V'asher adjali milsa kamaisa. We're talking about a case if she was a Bas Kohen. So then, when she's a Bas Kohen, and when I was a Bas Kohen, and then my husband had died, so then I was allowed to feed my slaves truma because now the Gemara is saying, and so then she's going to say, and then the fact that I married a Kohen Gadol, and now I eat my husband's truma, Vasha, Hadrali, Milsa, Kamaisa, so now that I'm widowed, I should go back to my original status, and my slaves can eat the truma. However, says the Gemara, Velo Yada de Mikara, Lo Shavas, Lo Nashe Chalala. She's not going to reason, the argument is all flawed, because she's not going to realize that the whole reason that originally she was not allowed to, she was allowed to because she didn't illegally do via any halacha. She was a totally kosher Bas Kohen who married Yisrael, and then she ended up, her husband ended up dying, and she didn't have children, let's say, so then her original status of a Bas Kohen goes back. So therefore she's entitled to Yitruma. Here, though, Hashtah Shavsalin Avshah Chalala. Well, in our case, by marrying a Kohen Gadol illegally, she has made herself a chalala, and therefore she is unfit to eat any truma. Therefore, she can no longer eat truma in the father's truma, and her slaves are not allowed to eat her truma either. So therefore, says the Gemara, the cases are fundamentally different. So says the Gemara, Tenach Almanas Kohenes. So now I understand why this case with regards to Almanas Kohenes, if you have a widow Kohenes, who might be able to make this taina. However, Almanas Bas Yisrael make lamebar. Almanas Bas Yisrael, a woman who's a Bas Yisrael who legally marries a Kohen Gadol, so why would I make this, I wouldn't have this gazira. Again, we're talking about just a random widow. She married a Yisrael, and she was Yisrael, and then she marries a Kohen. So there's no chashash that when she gets divorced or her husband dies, that would really the divorce, when her husband dies, that there'd be any chashash that she would assume that she'll have to feed her slave's truma, because that case is not applicable. So the Gemara says no, because once we make the gzera by Almana, by specifically Almana Bas Kohen, who was married to a Kohen Gadol, so then we're going to make the gzera across the board. Almana lo pliki rabbanan. So there's no differentiation, even though you're right, that the case only applies if she was personally the daughter of a Kohen who married a Kohen Be'isr, Kohen Gadol Be'isr, but the halacha is going to be a low plug, that any Almana who marries a Kohen Gadol, if they're nechsem elog, we're afraid that she's going to think that the property is allowed to go back to eat truma, which really only applies, again, in a case where you have a daughter of a Kohen, but still, we're going to make a low plug, we're going to say that it doesn't matter, we're not differentiating between the cases, all cases of widows are going to be usher. That's what the Gemara makes right now. Says the Gemara, Vaiter Itmar. So now the Gemara is going to continue to discuss Tzoner Barzel. So Zumar Amachnezah Shum Labaila, a woman who brings the letter, we mentioned the whole idea of the idea of Tzoner Barzel is that it's evaluated. So she brings the evaluated property. So then he Omeris Kelei Ani Notel Hel. So she, whatever she gave him, let's say she gave him a beautiful dish to use or a car, whatever it may have been, and she now says, I want that car back. It's now a vintage. I want it. V'omer Damanu. No, what do you mean? I want to give back the value. I've done my money. No, so now I'm giving back the value. I valued the car at $30,000. I want to keep it, the car myself. I like it a lot. So the Gemara says, I didn't mean, who wins? That, right? Let's say, especially if it went up in value, then it would make sense that she would want to, this we said, we're going to get to this, that's what we mentioned over here. Who wins this halacha? Because really we said that she's entitled to get, for sure, 100% she gets the value. The shadow is, what if she wants to keep the thing itself? She wants to keep the car that she gave him. So Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Amar, turning on to the next number now, Adin Ima. The halacha goes with her, and she's allowed to demand the car. She could say, I didn't just get the value, I got the car itself. So the car is always mine. And now that we're getting divorced, I want the car. Rav Ami Amar Hadinimo. No, the halacha follows him, and he could say, I'm giving you the $30,000, I want to keep this car. So this is the Gemara now. Rav Yehuda Amar Hadinimo. Rav Yehuda said the halacha is with her. Mishum Shevach Beisavia, Dida, Have. Because Shevach Beisavia, the concept of Shevach Beisavia, is that it's the prestige, it's the prestige of the father's house, to keep that prestige. Everyone knows that this car, this fancy, whatever, Lexus was the father's car, and everybody knows that that was something that was his father's house, so she wants to keep that, so she'd be allowed to demand it. Ravi Ami Amar Avdinimo, Kevan Damar Mar, and Imesa Mesu Lo, Vemasiru Siru Lo. He brings a riot from the Mishnah, the seemingly befarish in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, when it comes to Tzoner Barzel, that if the slave dies, it's going to be his loss, and because he has to pay the value no matter what. But Monsieur Zulo, if the slave went up in value, the slave again was $10,000. Now it's this slave, for whatever reason, he got strong and he has some crazy strengths and he could do all this good stuff. So now he's worth $20,000 when they're getting divorced. So Lacha sounded like from this Mishnah that he's allowed to just give the $10,000 and keep the slave. Since the husband was chayev to them, he's allowed to eat truma. So that we're just quoting the whole titut of the Mishnah, the whole point of the Mishnah. But we see from this Mishnah, though, clearly, that since he's responsible for the slave, Lachor, they're his, both for the good and for the bad. That's the whole concept of a Tzoner Barzel. So the Gemara deflects the proof of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Safra, Miktani Vehen Shelo. Does the Mishnah say that they're actually his? It doesn't say that Imesu Mesu Lo. It says Mesu Mesu Lo and Imusiru Siru Lo. That they go up in value for him, and they if they go down, it's also his. But that they're down for him. It doesn't say they're actually his ownership, though. It doesn't say Vehen Shelo, that the actual Tzoner Barzel is his, halakhically. So the Gemara says, Hoi V'chai Barchusakadani. The lesson of the Mishnah is that since he's Chaya for them, since the slaves eat truma, that's why he is going to be, it goes up and down. But the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah is not necessarily mukrach, that he really owns it. So therefore, the olam lavdi deninu. And in fact, they're not actually his, but rather they're the woman that he's divorcing. So therefore, we can teach that really that the husband would be required to return them. And it really just meant that if they go up or they can go up for him and go down for him. But the point is the achrayas, not really that he owns them. That's the point of the Mishnah. And we've deflected the raya from the Mishnah. So as the Gemara says, is it really true, though, that any slave or kohen is responsible is allowed to eat truma? So the Gemara just goes on a different point, that we see that someone is allowed to eat truma based on the fact that you have achrayas over it. So the Gemara says, is that really true? That's what we're trying to point out. They really don't own it, and it's really achrayas. So that's enough to say that the guy's allowed to eat truma. Again, because we're saying that this Tzoner Barzel property really is not fully the kohen's, because she could demand it. He's just responsible for the amount, and that's enough to be Mechayev Truma. So the Gemara is saying, is that Hanacha really true? You have to assume that way if we're trying to answer for the concept of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, V'chleicha d'chai b'chirusan achle b'truma. Is it really true that any slave which the Kohen is responsible for is Ladi Truma? Atnan, don't we learn in the Mishnah? In Meseches Trumos, Yisrael Shesachar Para Mekoyen. Yisrael, so he's obviously, right, he's not a Kohen, he's a Zar, who rented a cow from a Kohen. It's the cow is the Kohen's cow. Harezei Yachlenu Karshen Truma. So then, since he's only the renter, he's allowed to feed it, the animal food of Truma. So since it remains the property of the Kohen Shesachar Para Meyisrael. However, a Kohen who rented a cow from Yisrael, so Alpha Pishim Zot Zalav, even though the Kohen is responsible for feeding it while he's borrowing it, Lo Yachlenu Karshen Truma, he's not allowed to feed it animal food of Truma, the vetches of Truma. So even though the Kohen is responsible for the animal, still we see that he's not allowed to feed a Truma. So we see that Lachora, this is against Rav Safra's answer, that a Kohen who has responsibility for the property of the wife, that it's allowed to feed the Eved Truma, because really we're saying that the woman takes it back. If that's the case, it's just like a long-term rental, similarly that's a long-term rental, in which case the husband should not be able to feed this slave while they're married. They're not going to be feed your Truma, which is not the case. The mission is to be fair, as you are. So the Gemara says, V'tizbara, really saying that renters are responsible for the animal? That's not true. Neim in the Chayav Gneva Veda, you're Chayav, what is the renter Chayav for? He's Chayav for in a case where it's stolen or you lost it. However, Be'onse, if we have some crazy case where, you know, lightning struck and killed a cow, or some other case where it's something you could have never imagined, Be'chashav V'nachas Damea, where the animal became weakened or lost its value, Mima Chayav. Are the renters really Chayav? A renter is going to be Pater in case where you have unavoidable damage. Damage that was, you didn't see anything. So he's therefore, since he's putter from that case, he's not fully taking it. Or if the animal weakens or goes down in value, all of those cases, a renter is not going to be chayavin. So really, the Kohen didn't accept full responsibility for the cow. If the Kohen had accepted full responsibility over them, even though he's not really fully owning them, then yeah, through that period while he has the full responsibility, he would be allowed to feed them, in which case, just like the Tzon of Barzel, even though you don't really fully own them at all, because you have to give them back, still, since I have full responsibility over them over that period, I would be chayav, I would be allowed to feed them truma. So the Gemara says, and bringing a proof for this, haladami ala seifa, really, this is actually more similar to the seifa of that Mishnah in Shrimos. The case of Yisrael, sham par mikoyin. Yisrael evaluates a cow when renting it from a kohen. So therefore, he took upon himself in this rental agreement that he's going to take the full value of this property. If it goes down in value, or if anything happens, even an unavoidable loss, he agrees in the contract that he's going to pay for this value of the animal. So the halacha is lo yachlin no karshin truma. The halacha there that Yisrael is not allowed to feed him the vetches of truma. Aval kohen shesham par Yisrael yachlin no karshin truma. But a kohen who is evaluating a cow from Yisrael, he is allowed to feed it the vetches of truma. So we see that even though in this case the animals are still the property of the original owners, the Yisrael renter is not allowed to feed it truma. While the kohen renter, who's again, he's not the owner, but he's just taking full responsibility, he is allowed to feed it truma. So we could actually bring a raya from this that when the kohen takes full responsibility over something, even though he doesn't have full ownership of it, you're allowed to feed it truma. So similarly, by its owner Barzel, well, you're taking full responsibility for something, even though you are not owning it, still you are allowed to feed a chuma. Says the Gemara, Yosef, Rabbi of Yosef, Beshila Pirkad of Nachman. Rabbi of Yosef weren't sitting at the end of a shir of Rav Nachman. Yosef Akame, so they were sitting and they said, Tanya Kavasir of Yehuda, Tanya Kavasir de Rebbe Ami. We have a right that seems to support Rav Yehuda that the wife is allowed to demand it, and support of Rav Ami that the husband is allowed to demand it, in the case where, again, that where it's the end of the marriage, now they're getting divorced, and the husband wants to keep the car. So in our example, and it's a Tzoner Barzel car. So Barzel Tanya Kavasi Ravami. Let's bring a raya for Ravami, where Avdei Tzoner Barzel Yotzin B'Shein V'Ayin Leish. That the halacha says that if Tzoner Barzel are going to be, they're going to be only through that which the husband causes. Avalo Leisha. The halacha is that only if the owner of a slave accidentally knocks out his tooth, or even on purpose, knocks out the halacha specifically Shein V'Ayin by an eye or your tooth. So the halacha is that the slave goes free. So only the owner is allowed to do that. So here the Bryce is saying, who is the owner over here? That only of the husband, but not of the woman. So now this implies that the husband is fully the owner. In which case, if you have in our example the car case, so then if the car and they're getting divorced, the halacha is it's the husband, because we see that what defines something as the owner, then it's yours for the duration of your life. If it's not mine for the duration of my life, that's really just called an extended rental period. So if the husband really had to give back this car in a case where they get divorced, if the woman so demands it, so then the halacha should be that the woman, if she pokes out this guy, she's considered the owner of this eved, and therefore she pokes out his eye or a tooth, then the eved should go free. But here, that's not the case. The halacha is only if the husband does. So if the husband does, it clearly shows the husband's the owner. And then the nafkamina would be that if they get divorced, the husband has the right to demand the car, and the woman would not be able to tie it back to him. That we see from Isra Braisa supporting the halacha of Rav Ami, that the husband does not need to agree to the wife's demand to give it back to him. And Tana Kavasir of Yehuda, and we have a support of Rav Yehuda that says the wife is in the right. How do we know? A woman who brings a evaluated property, which again is going to be shown in Varzel, Imratza Baal Limkar Lo Yimkar. If the husband wants to sell it, he's not allowed to sell the property. Because if he wants to sell it, for Rashi says, for the guarantee that the wife will be able to retain these assets, should he divorce her, still, even that case is not allowed. Even if the husband brings his own valued property from his wife, from his own property, in Ratza Baal Limkor, if the husband wants to sell it, Lo Yimkor is not allowed to sell it. So now the Braisa continues. So Machru Shneim LeParnas, if either of the two of them were to sell such a thing, for they needed the sustenance right now, so that even if the motor that sells a good one, still, that is going to be not a valid sale. It happened in the Fnei Rabban Shimon Megamliel. The husband is allowed to remove the property from the hands of the people who purchased it. The wife, obviously, is allowed to move the property sold from the husband, obviously, because that was usher. But the Chiddush over here, even if the wife dies first, then the husband is allowed to remove the property because the original sale was not valid. Really, the wife was the owner, and therefore the original sale wasn't valid. So we see clearly who is the owner of the Nechzei Tzoner Barzel. The wife, we see the husband allowed to sell it, and it's fully, the wife is allowed to stop it, and even the husband himself is allowed to stop it. If he sold it, he said, hey, I realized that wasn't halachically allowed to sell it, that's a valid taina, because it wasn't really his. It's like selling something that wasn't yours, and then saying later that you acquire ownership of it, that's not valid. When you sold it, it wasn't yours, so you're not allowed to sell it. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, halachic Rav Yehuda, halachic Baal Rav Yehuda, that the Tzoner Barzel must be returned to the wife, if she so demands. At the car case, in our example, she's in the right, she's allowed to demand the car back. Amrei Raveler of Nachman, but Tanak of Aser Rami. But we have a Brisa that supports Rami. Why are you passing like Rav Yehuda? He says Avagav the Tanak of Aser Rami. Still, Mistaver the time of Rav Yehuda. We don't have a Brisa supporting either one. So in Svara, it makes more sense to follow. I like Rav Yehuda Svara. Why? Because Shabbat by Savia, that the prestige of the father's house is very strong Svara. So we have a Brisa here. We have a Brisa here. But Rav Yehuda also had a Svara of that you want to compliment the father's house. So that should be something which we should take into account. Says the Gemara, Hayitasa, to Ayla Layla Gavra, it's still at the Milsa Vixuvasa. She brought a nice woolen cloak for her, for the dowry. So Shachir, so when the husband died, Shaklua Yasme Parsua Masay, the orphans took this cloak and they spread it over the dead body. They used it as the Tachrichin, they used it for the shrouds for the dead body. So Amar Rava, Kananai Masina, the halacha is that the dead body has acquired this garment. It's no longer allowed to be used for anything other than for the dead people. So even though halacha was that it's really the wife's, but still, and then the Yisomim had no right to do this, but that's still going to be valid. So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Renanai, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef. Can I ask a question? If Amar Rava, or Nach Halacha, Rav Yuda, Rav himself says halacha follows Rav Yuda. So how over here can you tell me that it's acquirement, that she's acquirement, the Gemara? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Mila Modal, Rav Yuda, Muchsar Gavina. Doesn't Rav Yuda agree? No, can I respond to Nanai, this question, that why didn't Rav Yehuda agree that Tzoner Barzel is still considered Mechusar Gavayna, it's still lacking collection, meaning who is supposed to be getting it? The wife, great. But it's something which is lacking collection, because who's right now in possession of it? The Yisomim are in possession of it. Granted, they have to give it back to her, but that's still something which is lacking by her. So anything which is Mechusar Gavayna, you're right, it's still yours, but you're lacking, it's Shalob Rishus, it's not in your Rishus right now, that's a lacking of ownership. And the Lach is, came into Mechusar Gavayna, if it's in lacking ownership, Rishusikai. So then right now, it's still considered in the husband's possessions, and therefore, they can make it aser by putting it over the... They can't sell it to other people. The sale would go back. But this is something specifically in this case, by giving it, putting it over the dead body, that's something that's mafkia midei shibud. It's really, you have to give it as a lien. It's basically a lien that the woman has on this item. It's really hers. But there is certain things which can remove that lien. And so we're going to see in a moment. So we'll read it and then we'll come back to it. Rava tamina, rava hektish, chametz, and shichru mafkia midei shibud. These three things can, consecrating something and making it aser as like chametz, that can remove a lien from the creditor. So we'll get to Be'ez Hashem to explain that more, but we see that this it could remove the lien. Here, well, for our purpose is that, what do? They put this cloak on the dead body. The moment you put something on the dead body, halacha is it's aser ba'anah, because now you've used it towards the burial of the dead body. You're not allowed to take it out or do anything else. That thing is kilu muktash for the dead body. That's the halacha. So here, really they had to pay it to the woman. But the halacha is that since it's Mechusar Gavayna, that it's chal. Meaning, normally the concept of in other makdish davar shlo. I can't go over, take your phone and make it hektish. Why not? And give that value to hektish, because it totally took it out of your possession. I took it, it's not mine at all. However, if something is has a shibud, that you're entitled to something if I don't pay you back, and I don't pay you back, the lacha is, if I am makdish it, that would taka work. Okay, so we see that over here. Be'ez Hashem, we'll go back to the Amar Rava, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.